I want to start out by talking about a very churchy, a very Christian word, and that's the word salvation. And I'll explain what we mean by that, because it's one, if you've been in church, you hear it all the time. But even then, I think it can be confusing about what it means. But what we're gonna head into is a little bit, it's really, it's really what I think is the breadth and the richness of the biblical definition of salvation. So I will admit, I do this a lot, I think, that growing up, here's what Robert thought growing up, and that's always the springboard to what I have to talk about today. Growing up, I knew about salvation. It was a word I heard in church and in my home, and I tended to think of it, I didn't use this phrase or this word, but I used to think of it as a ticket to heaven, because a lot of times the question would be phrased, how do you know you're going to heaven? Well, because Jesus saved me. And there's nothing wrong with that, and it's true. Jesus has saved us to be with God forever. But what it leaves out is kind of all this life now that we're living in. And what do we do with this between now and heaven? And if you dig into Scripture, you realize that God's salvation, and that word really means rescue or deliverance, God's purpose in rescuing us is so much more than that. And God has a reason and a purpose and a desire for us in our salvation. So that's what we're going to look at a little bit today. And both Isaiah and Peter offer a number of images and metaphors to help us understand what our salvation is. I'm just going to focus really on two today. One is a tree, and one is the idea of a priest, being a priest. And that's all of us, not just pastors or the priest with the collar, but it's all believers. God is calling priests in these passages. So to help focus us, I want to talk about salvation or rescue in terms of from what we've been rescued to what we've been rescued and for what or why we've been rescued, and look at those aspects of it. Don't worry about the tiny, tiny words right now. I'll read them to you in a minute. But I'll start in Isaiah 61 and talk about, in Isaiah's passage, this work that God is doing, has done, the salvation. What are we coming from? What are we going to? And why has God done that? So Isaiah describes that beautifully, right? He starts out with this very memorable passage, and part of why it's memorable is because Jesus quoted it later when he started his ministry. Jesus went to the synagogue right at the beginning of his ministry and was reading from Isaiah and read this passage and then said, "Today it's being done," right? With me, this news that was promised to you in the future is now present in me. But in that, Jesus read and Isaiah said, here is good news. God told Isaiah to declare the good news that God will bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom, liberty to captives, freedom to prisoners, comfort to those who mourn, and to proclaim the year of the Lord. God is going to show up and do all these things. And that's the deliverance, right? From what? From brokenheartedness, from captivity, from mourning and sorrow. That's what part of what God is delivering us from. And for Isaiah's audience, it was all tied up in their sin and disobedience of God. In the New Testament, all of that is brought forward. And again, Jesus says, I'm coming to announce to you freedom from captivity, the loosing, the unbinding of those who are bound, comfort for those who mourn, freedom from sin, life from death. All that is what God delivers us from. That's part of salvation, right, is what God brings us out of. And then to what? It's all in there, in those same verses, right? It's from mourning, God brings us to comfort. From captivity, God brings us to freedom, to liberty. From sin, from death, to life and wholeness and righteousness. I say a lot of that when we come to the table each month. I talk about that miraculous exchange we have in Christ from what was before Christ to what is because of Christ. So Isaiah names that as well. And then the for what, this is tucked in there in Isaiah, in the end of verse 3, it's so that God may be glorified. Right? So that, in the specific case of Isaiah, the task they're going to be called to is to rebuild the walls. All that was lost and torn down when they were defeated and conquered. Part of the sign of God's renewing is going to be rebuilding the city walls. But what Isaiah says is when people see that and they ask, who did this? Your answer is going to be, God did this, right? And God's going to get the glory. In the same way, in our personal lives, if God has delivered us from captivity into freedom, if God has responded to our mourning with comfort, and somebody looks at us and says, what's going on there? It's kind of that the story we heard about Amazing Grace this morning in Sunday school. It's God has done this, right? And God gets the glory. So Isaiah, that's kind of the non-allegorical version of all this. This is the salvation that God's accomplishing. And in fact, we heard this at the beginning of the service as the call to worship, but this is what it sounds like to give God the credit for this work, right? So this is a few verses later. I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exult, praise God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation. This is all what the salvation is. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. And then this imagery of a groom and a bride and the life from the earth. God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations, right? The world will know this is what God is like. This is what God does in people's life, right? So that's the trajectory of what salvation is. It's from these things, captivity, loss, even death, even sin, to life and freedom and comfort and peace. And the reason for all that, that's the big piece that I think we miss so much, the reason for our salvation is that the world will know God did this. So to illustrate all of that, that's like sermon time, and then Isaiah and Peter both have story time to help us understand the sermon, right? Isaiah, one of the images he gives for this is of God planting a tree, right? And he says, you are the tree that God has planted. So he has this image of, the planting a seed in the ground, coming from nothing, from dead ground, lifeless ground, to, and this is the name he gives God's people, to oaks of righteousness. So that big oak, I don't know that it's an oak, that big tree, because I don't know about trees. It's a big tree I found on the internet, right? But oaks of righteousness, that's what we grow into, right? This is a picture, because we've all seen trees. We've seen what a gigantic tree looks like. There's that one on the way down to the beach near Charleston, the angel oak, if you've ever seen that. Just amazing, right? And God says, that's a picture of what your salvation is for, right? It's to be seen so that God will get the glory. God did this, right? So oaks of righteousness. The second image that both Peter and Isaiah use is this image of a priest. So I want to look at priest of the Lord over in Peter, and then we'll dip back to Isaiah. Peter is also going to use these same three, kind of breaking out what salvation means. He talks about recreation. He gives us a number of new names. You heard Melissa read some of them. When we trust in Christ, God gives us a new identity, but it's really a rediscovering of the original creation, right? God made us in his image, and sin distorted all that. Salvation is restoring that to us, right? So there's a recreation of, and God names us as priests of the Lord, royal priesthood, all this. There's a restoration that God is restoring that image in us that's been torn apart, marred by sin. And then and that's the from what and the to what. And then there's this participation. And that's the part that boggles my mind every time I think about it. Right? It would be a good news story. It would be worth having church, worth sharing the good news, simply to say we were dead and God raised us to life. right? We were lost in sin and God set us free. That would be enough of a gospel to carry the whole train, right? But God says, like those great TV commercials, wait, there's more, right? And this is the part that always gets me. God doesn't just breathe life back into us, like resetting us into a new life, but there's this purpose, right? And God says, come on with me. I'm doing this work on the earth, and I want you to be part of it. And particularly if you've ever dealt with an awareness of your sin or your need or your brokenness, if you've ever had that thought or recognized that feeling of, God couldn't possibly want me. I've messed up too much. I've crossed the line and then some. And the overwhelming awe you feel when you hear God say, but yes, I do want you and I forgive you, right? I love you. Come home. But to go, I mean, it just blows all the gaskets in our minds and spiritual hearts for God to say, and I want you to be a part of what I'm doing, right? It would be enough for God to say, I forgive you, and you can live. But it's this, come with me and do this thing, right? It's the prodigal son, come home. He's not just welcome home, but there's a party for him, right? So Peter names all that, and then he uses, as Isaiah does, this image of priests. Priests, again, are not the guys with the collars, not professional pastors. It's all believers. God says, you are priests. You are all a royal priesthood. And what that, the image that portrays is, come work for me. Come work with me. It's that participation piece. So I want to look at three things that priests do according to these scriptures in Peter and Isaiah. And then we'll wrap up. Priests, and there's at least three things that all of you, all of us do as priests. We worship. Peter says we offer up spiritual sacrifices. That's what we're doing right now, right? But it's not just in here. It's what you do out there. It's these lives offered to God sacrifice, as an offering. God, my life belongs to you. My work belongs to you. My family belongs to you. My plans, my dreams, my money, my time, my relationship, it all belongs to you. And I offer it to you in worship. That's one task of priests, is to offer up ourselves completely to God. Priests also proclaim. Isaiah talked about the good news. Peter talks about the excellence of God who's called us from darkness into light. We tell that story, right? We share, it's God who did this in me. It's not me, it's God. And we're all the time pointing away to God and giving God glory. That's one of the roles of priests, is to proclaim and to point to God. And then thirdly, priests live love. Going back to Isaiah, it's the priests who participate in this setting free the prisoner, the comforting those who mourn, right? God is doing it through his people, and that's part of their work. So three things, and I'm sure there's more, but in these passages, priests worship and proclaim and they love. And that's not some other dressed up people. That's you and me. And then finally, I want to kind of merge those two images together with the phrase planted to be priests. It's easy to hear all that and think, I can't do all that. I don't do all that. I may not even want to do all that, right? I'm hardly this priest who worships and proclaims and lives love. That sounds great. That's a great ideal. The reason I think these two images work so well together is that none of us is yet the angel oak on John Island, right? This glorious, magnificent, thousand-year-old tree. We're all in process of growing up, right? Some of us are a lot closer to acorns. Some of us have a few branches and leaves. Some are a little bit more mature. But that's one of the reasons that's such a helpful image to me, is to say we're all the time supposed to be growing and growing and maturing and sinking roots deep, spreading branches wide, soaking up God's instruction and love and presence so that we grow healthy. So it's okay that you and I are not all that is described there as priests, but that is what we're headed towards. That is what maturity looks like, and that's what God invites us towards. Remember, that's not a condition of salvation. It's the result of salvation, right? So just to remind you, God's rescued us from sin and death and sorrow and captivity and bondage. He's delivered us to life and freedom and grace and forgiveness and mercy and a new life. And he's invited us. The why of all that is that we be these growing up into priests of the Lord, that worship God, that proclaim the good news, that point to God, that live out the love of God in and around us. That's a help for me. That's a helpful image to carry with me, both that picture of a tree and that concept of being of the priesthood of all believers, of what it is that God has invited me into. And it's not so much it can become, a task. I think we can make it into a task, but really it's a privilege. God wants me as part of what he's doing. That is amazing. That's what priests is all about, right? God's invited me into this. So that's my desire for us as a church, is that we acknowledge we're all still growing up, but also just sense the joy of what it is to share with God this work in the world. So as we start a new year, I thought this was a helpful image to kind of set out before us. This is what God is calling us to. You know, there's a lot of other images and language in Scripture. Being a disciple is describing the same thing. Following Christ is the same kind of idea. As we start a new year together, I thought this would be a helpful thing to name out of Scripture, that this is why God has saved us, right? To be his people in the world.